My name is Don Stott. I am a father who experienced estrangement from one of my adult children firsthand. Welcome to Beyond the Pain, a place where parents of estranged adult children can find peace and healing. In each episode, I hope to share stories that'll help you through some of your darkest hours. To bring this out of the shadows,
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And stop being ashamed. Then to build you up and inspire you to love yourselves even more. Hello, I want to start by reminding you that I am not a therapist or a doctor. I'm just a guy who's been there and wants to help you have a life past our estranged children. If you need mental help coping with this or have thoughts of hurting yourself or someone else, please seek professional help. Hi guys, on today's show, I will be having a conversation with Leslie. She is a estranged mom as well. And let's bring Leslie on. We'll get started. Hi, Leslie. How are you today?
Hi, Don. I'm great. I'm so happy and pleased to speak with you.
Well, very good. I know we've been, chatting for a little bit. So I'm glad we were able to finally able to connect. That's great. I've been doing this for a little while and just like to talk to different people, get their perspectives. I've branched into talking to, I've spoken to one of the estranged children. I hopefully be able to do some more of that, but I just like to get to know each other. Hopefully some of the people listening will be able to resonate with you and your experience and any insights that you might have. So I guess let's start by just telling us a little bit about who Leslie is.
Okay. Well, I'm 59 years old. I have 3 grown children. I have 3 grandchildren. I'm married and I am a mental health counselor with a private practice.
Okay.
And, I have a dog and a cat. I have a pretty good life. Pretty good life.
Cool. What area of the country do you live in?
I live in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's a little chilly there right now, I'm guessing?
A little bit. Yes.
Okay, cool. And so for you personally growing up, how was your home life?
Well, I was very close to my father as a little child. I loved him very much. I think I was the apple of his eye. We had a very close relationship. He was so loving and funny and fun and cuddly and just like a teddy bear. I had a very responsible mother. She was a school teacher. I could always count on her. She was very trustworthy. I knew she loved me, but she was a little bit more guarded than my father.
Yeah.
One of my problems growing up was that as I went into adolescence, had a mind of my own and maybe became a little sassy. My father had a very hard time adjusting to that. And there were a lot of issues with him that lasted throughout my adolescence. Lots of silent treatment if I displeased him. I wasn't a kid who was into alcohol or drugs or like some of the major things that parents worry about.
Right.
But I got into trouble once in a while. And, you know, this was very devastating to my father. And I had to deal with a lot of criticism and a lot of silent treatment off and on. And my senior year of high school, I was 18, my senior year of high school, I moved out of the family home. And I really didn't have the skills to have a successful adult experience. and I think he knew that.
Yeah.
But off and on throughout my adulthood, my father and I were estranged.
Okay.
And usually he started the estrangement. If I did not engage in a relationship in the way he wanted me to, if I did not do what he wanted me to, if I displeased him in some way, he reacted to that by estranging himself from me.
Okay.
By the time I was in my 30s and married and had my own children, I really couldn't take that anymore. It just broke my heart every time we had an argument and he estranged himself from me. So the last time he estranged himself from me, I said, that's it. There will be no reconciliation. I can't do this roller coaster anymore. And it was starting to affect my children.
Right.
So unfortunately, we were estranged when he passed away.
Wow. So you've experienced both sides then, you know?
Yes.
So that's, and I've talked to other people, as you know, that have done that as well. So that's, and you know, the more I do this and the more I talk to people, the more I realize just how much that has happened, you know, in our lives.
When I lived at home and was growing up, it was the occasional silent treatment. But as an adult, it was an estrangement. We would go right. for months. At the end, it was years without speaking. And it was extremely painful for me.
Of course it was, yeah. Wow. So when you realized what was going on as you, you know, got older, obviously, and he really estranged, had you seen that in your family anywhere else or with other people? Had you known what that was?
There were stories that I heard about aunts and uncles who hadn't seen each other for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up hearing my father say, you know, some of these people only see each other at weddings and funerals. So this seemed to be a pattern on my dad's side of the family, of people getting angry, unable to resolve the conflict, and just remaining estranged for years and years. And I think my father actually, he wasn't only estranged from me. I think there were times he was estranged from his own siblings
Right.
His aunts, his uncles, his parents, it just seemed to be a pattern in his life. He would cut people off.
So you said you have three kids. Are they all estranged?
No, no. Okay. And technically, I only have a challenging relationship with one of my daughters.
Okay.
And technically speaking, we're still speaking. We're right. still spending time together. But one of your podcasts really enlightened me about my relationship with her. Okay. And I'll refer to it. I took some notes.
Oh, goodness.
it was a video that you called Four Signs You Are Becoming Estranged from Someone.
I remember that.
So you said, usually you can look back and see the little things that started the estrangement. Okay, well, that's true. In hindsight, I can look back and see right. where problems started. But anyway, four things. You said, one, they start to become distant and you see them pulling away. All right, I saw that.
Yeah.
Two, if they become, they become increasingly critical of you out of nowhere. And suddenly you can't do anything right around them.
Yeah.
I saw that happening. Okay. With this particular child.
Okay.
Number three, if they stop returning phone calls or text messages or emails, that was happening. So I'm looking at your criteria of four things and I've got three of them.
Oh boy.
And then number four was if they tell you they don't want you in their lives or they need to take a break in the relationship.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't really get to number four.
Okay.
She didn't tell me that with words.
Right.
Okay. So this didn't really happen. But I did feel emotionally cut off from her. And I felt cut off from any kind of meaningful connection or any kind of deeply fulfilling conversation.
Yeah.
And one day she called me. This is my youngest of the three. To announce, this is kind of silly. She called me to tell me she was going to elope. Now, usually people just elope. You know, they don't right. tell anybody they're going right. to elope.
That is different.
She wanted me to know that she was getting married and that she was going to elope. So I did feel cut off from something very important.
Sure.
And meaningful in her life.
Yeah.
And that the feeling I had at the time was I'm losing her. I'm losing her. Mm-hmm. My heart sunk and I was very distraught. And, you know, I did all the wrong things. Oh, my God, don't elope. You can't do that. I love you. I want to be at your wedding. What do you mean you're going to elope? We're all going to be brokenhearted if we can't be at your wedding.
Right.
That was followed by, you know, a period of difficult conversations, sometimes no conversations. My other daughters were very upset about it. We were all upset about it.
Sure.
So at that point, it felt like an estrangement and she didn't completely cut me off, but there were no, phone calls or conversations that were really open.
Right.
After that. And every phone call was a three-way conversation that included her fiance as well, who I knew and liked and felt good about, but didn't know him well enough to have a really open, completely emotionally authentic conversation with. I mean, he was still basically a stranger to me.
Right.
So those conversations didn't feel very real.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's funny you bring that up about the, you know, them telling you. And they're one of the reasons I put that in there, you know, you've heard me talk about the Facebook group that I'm in. We'll get a lot of kids will say that, but then the parents, we don't want to hear that. I wouldn't have wanted to hear it. But if they really tell you that, then that's something, you know, you can't, I mean, regardless of how we feel about it, you can't just completely ignore their feelings. It's hard. It's hard not to. But so I'll get a lot of people in the group. Well, they told me that, but I still did this and this. Well, it might just be that they need time, or maybe not. But you've got to at least try to give them a little time. So that's kind of the reason I threw that one in there, because some people, unless they hear it from some other source, it's like our kids, when we would tell them to do something or not to do something, they would rail at us. But if they heard it from the other, their friend's parent that they're the cool parent, they'd listen, you know, kind of thing. So do you have a feeling why you think it happened? Why she pulled away? What is your thoughts on that?
So we are a Catholic Christian family.
Okay.
It's a little complicated because, we're a divorced family.
Okay.
I notice a lot of, estranged families have a history of divorce.
Yeah.
So I have two ex-husbands.
Okay.
My first ex-husband is the father of my oldest daughters. He is Catholic. And I converted to Catholicism when I married him. Because I was a Christian, and I had a Christian background, but I really did not have a church or a faith community or a faith tradition.
Right.
And I thought, if I'm going to get married and have children, I would like to raise them with a faith tradition.
Sure.
So why not convert to Catholicism?
Right.
My husband seems to be doing well with this religion. So we married, I converted, and those two older daughters were raised in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And, they really took to it.
Yeah.
I held on to my Protestant roots quite a bit. I may have been a more open-minded Catholic being a convert.
Right.
The theology, the dogma. I mean, when you're not raised in it, sometimes you don't really understand it.
Yeah.
But I stayed Catholic. I went to Mass. I raised these children Catholic. They were baptized, confirmation, everything. So we had a Catholic family. But then my first husband and I got a divorce. I became kind of bitter and upset and decided part of the problem was the bit about being Catholic. So I went through a period where I left the church, but continued to support the children in being raised Catholic.
Okay.
So I'm divorced. I left the church. I met another man and I married him. We had a Christian marriage and a Christian lifestyle. And we decided to adopt a daughter together. So we had that's where child number three came in. We adopted her together.
Yeah.
For a while I was going to a, Christian mega church. Right. With my adopted daughter and my second husband, but also going to Mass with the first two daughters I had with the Catholic husband. Eventually, I thought, you know, I can't support two churches. This is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Going to two different churches on. So I returned to the Catholic Church. And there were also other signs. I happened to be working at Catholic Charities at the time as a mental health counselor and a family counselor. I had a lot of Catholic friends.
Yeah.
I graduated from a Catholic college. I mean, there were all kinds of signs that maybe I should just go ahead and be Catholic.
Right, right.
So my adopted daughter, I brought her into the Catholic Church with me and with her sisters.
Okay.
Long story short, I sent her to Catholic schools. I sent her to a Catholic college. She decided Catholicism wasn't part of her faith journey.
Okay.
So I think possibly she was concerned about how the family would feel about her not wanting a Catholic wedding,
yeah,
not marrying a Catholic man, and not having Catholicism as part of her adult life.
Right.
And I think that was behind a lot of the reason why she said, hey, I'm eloping.
Yeah.
She didn't want to deal with that. Now, I don't know this for sure.
Right.
Which brings me to another point. I have a lot of acquaintances and friends and clients who've been through estrangement. And when you say to them, why are you estranged from your children? They'll say, well, I don't know. And I think, how can you not know this?
Right.
Well, because you don't want to ask a lot of questions. You don't want to pry a whole lot. It just starts arguments. So I'm one of those parents who isn't exactly sure if that's, you know, the reason I went through this with my child.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bring it up.
Understandable, because you don't know where that's going to lead. You know, you're walking on eggshells, kind of, and, you know, what's the next step if you say something that she doesn't like, you know? So I can understand that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so there were a lot of things leading up to this.
Yeah.
So like number one, you said number one, they start to become distant. You see them pulling away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that the entire time she was in college. Very rarely was I in touch with her. Very rarely did she call me. Part of the problem too, and this was a mistake I may have made. I was adamant that she go to a Catholic college. One thing I noticed about Catholics was they're pretty good at educating people.
Right.
I've got a lot of friends and relatives who went to Notre Dame, and I went to St. Mary's College across the street from Notre Dame. The Catholic parochial schools, do a pretty good job. I just really wanted her in that environment. And that might have been a mistake. She wasn't happy with that.
Yeah.
And so she started pulling away in college.
Well, it's so hard, you know, as you, I'm sure, run across in your profession. We can't read their mind, you know, and if they don't talk to us, or if we're not ready to hear it, you know, some of it we have to take. I get looking back on mine, but maybe we just don't understand. But if they don't talk to us and get their point across, then it's really hard for us to, we're only doing the best we can. You know, you were raised in a difficult environment. You're trying to not be that, as most of us are, and it's difficult. So Well said. Make the same mistakes, but you're still going to make mistakes.
Yes, well so, said. And what you said about, you know, the signs that you're becoming estranged, they become increasingly critical.
Yeah.
This daughter was very critical of me. Now, I give her a break because I ended up splitting up from her father. It's difficult for a child to experience divorce in a family. Sure. At the same time that was happening, her older sisters were going off to college. Hmm. That can be sometimes experienced as a loss.
That makes sense.
Also, when she was in the ninth grade, I moved to a new town to take a new job that increased my income.
Right.
And I also met my third and final forever husband. So there were a lot of changes and stressors going on.
Yeah.
So her increased criticism toward me, I just took.
Right. You didn't think it would.
I knew she was going through a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was kind of ridiculous. I would be criticized about the way I drive, about where I wanted to park.
Oh my goodness.
About running late. She really didn't like it when I was running late. If I got on her about cleaning her room or cleaned something up and moved something to the wrong place and she couldn't find her things, there would be a lot of increased criticism over things that didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Now, to her credit, I didn't have to worry about drugs, promiscuity, alcohol, blatant disobedience.
Right.
I didn't. But I lived with daily criticism. But I do see this stress, you know, in hindsight,
sure,
that she must have been under, you know, with a divorce in the family and older sisters going off to college and me moving to a new town and me meeting a new man. That's a lot for a kid to go through.
Sure.
If I had to do it over again, there would be some things I would do differently.
Wouldn't we all? I mean, that's, wish we had do-overs on some of that stuff, but you know, I said, we do the best we can, but sometimes it's just not good enough for them or other people. So,
and she was an excellent student.
Yeah.
But, you know, she continued to withdraw from me. And then, you know, after she went off to college, she did start dating. Yeah. But then she found her fiance. And then he was her total soul focus.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that.
Yeah.
I met him. I liked him. But here's when it really started. When she was she just turned 21, she said to me, she and I went out to lunch together, just the two of us.
Yeah.
She said, Mom, I really want to marry this man and I want your blessing. And she had just turned 21. She wasn't even a junior in college yet, I don't think. Or maybe she was. And my response disappointed her.
Yeah.
I said, honey, why don't you finish college and, you know, start your career and have some time as a single woman before you make a big relationship commitment?
Right.
I said, I think you're too young and, I don't think you're ready. Man. That was not what she wanted to hear.
No.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And that was the truth from me. I mean, I was telling her the truth.
Right.
So in this same conversation, she said, you know, my other friend's parents, you know, they're more supportive and they're more open and they act, you know, more like their friends to their adult children. And then like an idiot, I said, I'm not your friend, I'm your mother. And
right.
What I meant was, I love you more than any friend will.
Yeah.
I want the best for you. More than any other friend would want for you. You know, so that hurt her terribly.
Yeah.
That, you know, I wish I had a do-over. I wish I could go back on that and just say, I'm so happy for you that you found this man.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, it's the cliche with so often with those you've heard, and I'm sure, you know, you have clients that the more we resist something, the more it's going to make them do it anyway. So, so yeah, I'm sure with a lot of people, the whatever religion or political belief or whatever you have, if they don't follow that or whatever that, or don't want to follow that or rail too hard against it, that makes a dent in the family. So makes a lot of sense.
But for me at this point, I accept her faith journey.
Okay.
Good. She's on her own faith or faithless journey. It's not for me to judge or dictate or tell her how to do this. And her two sisters, who are very, very religious, are being very kind and open and supportive and loving towards her. And so after she announced this, she was going to elope, and I had this just doomsday sense, I'm losing her. I didn't use the word estrangement. I didn't say I'm becoming estranged. Right. I thought I'm losing her. After that, I realized I had to change.
Okay.
I had to be more accepting of how she wanted to do things and how she wanted to live.
Yeah.
And I had to admit that maybe I made a mistake in insisting upon, you know, what kind of college you should go to.
Right.
Maybe I should have been more open about her desire to marry this man. And I came around. But one thing I couldn't do, I couldn't bless an elopement.
Yeah.
Mostly because it hurted me. It was kind of selfish on my part. And I assumed that she wanted to elope because she just didn't want to deal with us and our reactions. So her sisters and me all decided we were not going to judge her or her fiance, how they wanted to get married, how they wanted to live. We were just going to show them love and support them. We were able to convince them to let us come to their wedding.
Oh. Well, that's good. At least you got to see it.
So once my daughter said to us, okay, Mom, you can come to my wedding. Then, of course, my son-in-law had to invite some of his relatives. So it went from being an elopement that was going to be simple and easy to now we have to plan a wedding. And it was going to be just for family.
Right.
Immediate family. But then some of my daughter's friends crashed the wedding. They heard about the wedding.
Oh no.
So, I mean, it became what they didn't really want.
Yeah.
But it was a joyous occasion, and it was a time when we really wanted to show her we don't want to be estranged.
Yeah.
We don't want this this choice you're making to come between us.
Right.
And I would like to tell you that, you know, well, everything was just all rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns after that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been, you know, bumps in the road along the way.
And well, you know, you're getting to know the new husband. He's getting to know you guys. And their dynamic with each other is different than you've dealt with. So, yeah, I mean, so, of course.
And I still would like more phone calls, more texts, more emails, more visits. I really would. But I will settle for what she's willing to give me. Yeah. I think if I'm pushy and ask for too much, it'll put stress on the relationship.
Yeah, probably. Very likely, I would think. So I've heard that so many times, that kind of thing. That and it was in my experience too. So and mine was kind of similar to yours in a way that I didn't know my daughter-in-law that well by the time this happened. You've heard it, but for those who hadn't, I didn't know her that well, and I was certain that she had a hand in, you know, what happened, and it turns out that she really didn't. But you know, when the cutoff happens and you just don't know, everything goes through your mind and you try to retrace everything and you try to figure it out. And unless they tell you, it's very hard to figure out. So,
yes, you are so right. I wondered if the new man in her life was controlling her in some way.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. I know him now. I've been a guest in his home.
Yeah.
I spent Christmas with him. He's a good man. But when things like that are happening, yes, everything goes through your mind.
Yeah. It's the same thing when, you know, when your kids first learn to drive and they're out of the house and they're on the road. if they don't answer you or they don't end up where they say they're going to and whatever, first thought in your head is they're in a ditch somewhere on the side of the
Absolutely.
Road.
Absolutely.
We've all done that. Yes. So our daughter teases us now. She's at college and she teases us now that she, okay, this is the I'm not dead call, you know. So, okay, that's all we're asking. You know,
yes.
Do your thing, but
yes, there,
you're okay.
There were many nights when I couldn't sleep. Yeah. I talked to my doctor about that and I did get some medication to help me at least get some sleep.
Good.
If I was able to get a text through to her, then that would ease my mind. If I talked to one of my other daughters and they said they heard from her, that would ease my mind.
Right.
If I saw something on Facebook about her and saw she was happy and well, that would ease my mind.
Right.
But there were lots of times when I just had anxiety. Just, I don't know how she is. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I think she needed some space to really figure out who she is.
Of course.
And how she wanted to live and who she wanted to be in her life. And
right.
I think she was afraid we were going to judge her.
Well, so many, she probably has friends that so many of them do. I hear stories, not just about estrangement, but just watching stuff. And so many parents do, especially sometimes when they're from a ultra religious background that
yes.
they, you know, have to do everything, you know, and so that's got to be difficult. And you're going to assume when you're a kid that your parents are going to want you to do this, this, and this. And if you don't, then, you know, there's a lot of issues. So,
yes, yes.
So I can understand that.
And I think as parents, we need to let our adult children know that we support their faith journey, whatever that is. If that takes them away from the way we raise them, we have to accept that.
You're right. You're right. That's a really good point. 'Cause if you force them, especially once they're an adult, if you're just guilting them or trying to force them into that little bubble, it's not going to work anyway, you know, and even if they stay with it, it's not going to, they're not really there. They're not really there in their heart and soul. So what
yeah.
is the point? And I think regardless of what religion and faith you are, I think the big guy would say, let them do their thing, you know,
yes. it's
got to be their choice. So, I don't talk about a lot of that, you know, on here, but yeah, regardless of your religion or faith or lack thereof, you know, mm-hmm. has to be your kid's choice,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're an adult. So do you have a lot of, like, obviously you're still in contact, but you touched on it earlier as far as people asking you what you did, you know, or whatever. Did you have much of that kind of thing? Why
you mean like
estranged?
So I didn't really admit to many of my acquaintances that I was estranged because I didn't really believe I was. I didn't share it with friends. It wasn't until I heard your podcast that I realized, wow, she did become distant and pull away. And wow, she is totally critical of me. She did stop. There was a time when we didn't have phone calls or text messages or emails. I mean, it dawned on me very slowly that this was an estrangement.
Yeah.
What I would say to my friends was, we almost were estranged.
Yeah.
So my friends didn't ask me a whole lot about it. Now, my older daughters, we would talk about, well, why did this happen? How did our relationship turn out this way with her? But my older daughters have a much more open, happy, loving, fun relationship with my younger daughter than I have had. So when we talk, they tell me, well, Mom, you know, this happened because you weren't real supportive of the marriage at first. This happened because you were very controlling about what college she should go to. They happened to agree with me that Catholic colleges were good and worked for them. And, you know, they understood why I wanted that for her, but it's a little too pushy there, I think. Also, I had a tendency to bicker with her and argue with her and defend myself when she would be critical of me. And I just had to stop that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, and even my husband would say, you're getting on her level. You need to be the older person with the cooler head.
That's hard. That is hard.
So I've learned to be as emotionally non-reactive as possible.
Okay.
If she's critical of me, if she has a different idea than me, if she wants to do something differently than I would, I don't comment.
Right.
If she says something critical, I don't react. Now, sometimes other people around me will react and say, why are you saying that to your mother? Why are you treating your mother that way? But I won't react. And you know what? That has helped me in my relationship with her.
Well, and it's probably helped you, period. You know, being able to not give her, give those reactions, you know, because it's got to be stressful. I know for me, stressful on me, because I would get that, you know, my, whatever you want to call it, get all upset and then react and cause myself stress, her stress, whoever was around us stress. So it's got to be good for you as well. So
yes,
to not do that.
The temptation is to defend myself. Sometimes I do. I mean, Sometimes I think she needs to know why I made decisions I made.
Yeah.
For example, going through a divorce with her father, of course I don't want to tell her all kinds of details that are none of her business, but I don't want her to think that I made this big change in our family just because I was being frivolous. Oh, I fell out of love with your dad, or oh, I found a new man, or, you know, I certainly wanted her to know it was for an important reason.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes I would defend myself if she criticized that decision.
And you probably should, just because, but being able to do it without being like, you know, probably will make a difference too.
I will only defend myself if I know that I can do it without losing my temper, without becoming emotional.
Yeah.
And if I have a good defense.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. If she hits the nail on the head about something that happened, well, then, you know, that happened.
And I've also learned to just apologize a lot, not just to this one challenging child I have, but to all three of my children.
Yeah.
As you say a lot in your videos, on your podcasts, we're perfectly imperfect. We're not perfect people. There's no guidebook. So I know I've stumbled a lot along the way, and it doesn't hurt anybody to apologize.
No.
Now, I have friends and clients who say, why should I apologize if I didn't do anything wrong? Well, because it's not going to hurt anybody or anything, except maybe your pride.
And even if you don't, just open up just a little bit of that armor, you know, on them, it could.
I mean, if you don't
absolutely
believe you did anything wrong, you're still sorry about the tension, about the stress, about the circumstances.
Right.
You have to admit you're not a perfect person.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, it was really interesting when I spoke to Kenny Weiss, because before that, I really didn't, because he's more, listen, the kids are supposed to grow up. They're supposed to go away from us. They're, you know, there's certain things. So he's like, I'm sad that I don't have that relationship, but I'm happy that they are grown functioning adults and, you know, whatever. And there's a certain logic to that. Yes, we want to be involved in our kids' lives and our grandkids and all that. But I mean, at least you can know that you raised a good child. They're functioning members of society. They're not evil, you know, so they just aren't following the path that you want them to follow. So like you said, though, they have to get there on their own.
Yeah. And I can't say I disapprove of this daughter's path. I can't say that.
That's good.
But I think she was afraid that I would.
Yeah.
And I do want to support her.
Well, that's good.
And her husband and their goals for their life. But I think maybe there was a time when she didn't believe that I wasn't able to convey that to her.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult, you know, and hopefully she'll be able to see that a little more as time goes on. Hopefully she'll allow that.
I think you're right. And by the way, I saw the video with Kenny Weiss. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He's a very good speaker.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Cool. Yeah. I liked him too. I made some comment about him. I don't remember exactly what I said, but he gets people uncomfortable, you know, and sometimes you have to be a little uncomfortable. So,
to grow. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was a little put off right at first and I'm like, but that's kind of when I started changing my perspective a little bit too. And I was able to open up a little bit more. Maybe there's some other facets that I'm not seeing that we're not seeing. So, which led me into being able to speak to that young man, which I thought he was a very smart young man. He put a lot of thought into it, which I think gives us some perspectives that at least some of them, you know, not everybody, but at least some of them, there's reasons, even if we don't agree with them or don't think they're quite the same way, they do put some thought into it. Some mm-hmm. of them. So I think that was important to hear. And I'd like to talk to more of them if possible, but I'm working on that.
Good.
So, well, so if your daughter happens to hear this and she happened to be listening, I know you've said a few things already, but is there any like one resounding thing you would like her to know if she happened to hear you talking about it?
I'm really proud of her, and I support her faith journey or faithless journey. I support her marriage and her career choices, and I love her immensely. And I would do anything for her. She's always welcome at my home. I want to be welcome in her home. I don't judge her. And I'm sorry for the things I've said or done that hurt her or made her feel like she couldn't trust me or that she can't be herself around me.
Right.
I'm sorry for the stress she had growing up in our family. We all love her dearly. I mean, she's always going to be our little Dolly. I mean, it's like she had three mothers. My older two daughters just doted on her hand and foot. And, you know, we all just love her to pieces. And I'm there for her no matter what. And I'd love to have more of her in my life, but I accept if, you know, she needs some space. I accept that.
That's awesome. That's very good. Have any of the things that happen turned into anything positive in your mind?
I've become much more open and accepting, about, you know, just letting her have her own path.
Cool.
And not taking things, you know, personally. It's not all about me, right?
Right.
I've become more in touch with maybe my own neediness that I need to take care of. Definitely more understanding of my acquaintances and friends and clients who are going through family estrangement. You know, I have a much bigger heart, I'm much more humble, much more forgiving. So, yes, some good things for me have come out of this.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you a little bit and hearing about your journey. Is there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience or anything we haven't covered?
Well, I do have final thoughts, and they might not be good for everybody, but
okay.
What worked for me was an attitude of, I am never going to give up on this job. I will never, ever, ever give up on connecting with her, on letting her know I love her. I'm absolutely not letting her go. Now, I know that doesn't work for everybody. I know for some people, they have to walk away.
Right.
They don't want restraining orders against them. They don't want their kid calling the police. I mean, but in your heart and in your mind and in your prayers, you don't have to give up.
Right.
For me, that got me through a hard time, saying I am never going to give up. I don't want to drive my kid crazy or push her away, but I will never give up.
Awesome. Well, that's a great note to leave on, I think. And I think we could all use that. Like you said, sometimes that's not possible, but, you know, some people aren't there, I should say. And, but I think that's a great,
it is a great note to leave on. But I also want to say to you, you've been a huge help to me and to many others. You've been such a blessing and such a comfort. And, you know, we talked before this, you told me you're not a psychologist or a counselor, but you could be. I mean, you're so understanding and comforting and open, and you are providing a wonderful service for families, and you're providing hope and understanding. And I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Means the world to me, really.
And I love all your guests.
They have been pretty awesome.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
Yes.
I know I spoke to Amy Palmer the other day. She does that peace organization. And she said ever since she's been on there, her Zoom calls that she talked about have been through the roof. There's so many people logging in. I actually attended one a few weeks ago, and there was like 30 people on the call. It was crazy. One of which was an estranged child. So it's been quite a journey. Sometimes it's difficult to, you know, like I said earlier, to keep things going and keep ideas and whatever. So
God is using you.
I agree. So, well, thank you. And
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.